Welcome in, time for KER Politics, thought-provoking views from leaders in the field. The views of our guests do not necessarily represent the views of either Corey or Big Al.
Now, time for KER Politics.
Hey, welcome in, time for a daily editorial. A lot of things to talk about today. Obviously, the mass shooting in California, the state which has the most restrictive gun laws in the country. There's some interesting news about Gavin Newsom, what he's saying about the Second Amendment. There are many other things to talk about. We're going to start out talking about, number one, I want to compliment all of you bloggers. Now that I'm spending quite a bit of time on the blog, I want to say you guys are very insightful and very intelligent, and I thank you very much for making our site as good as it is. Having said that, let's talk about what Gavin Newsom said about the Second Amendment, because that could kill him in a presidential election, Jimmy.
Yeah, he was talking to, I guess, Norm O'Donnell, the NBC news anchor, and after the Monterey shooting, Monterey Park in Southern California, not Monterey City.
No.
But and of course, you know, there were 10 people. I think now there's been 11 people that have died from that shooting. And it was a local Asian man that was apparently, and it's unclear, but he was angry at his ex-wife and not sure exactly the circumstances of it. But Gavin Newsom was walking and speaking to NBC and said that the Second Amendment is a suicide pact.
Yeah.
And for his constituency and for the left, that's an angle and an argument that he's going to make. But from a national perspective, that's a very damning statement and
yes,
a very damaging political statement for a run for the White House.
I agree 100%. I mean, our country is really built on the Second Amendment, regardless of what Newsom thinks, but it is totally built on the Second Amendment. And interestingly enough, on the First Amendment also, I don't think there's any question whatsoever about that. Well, we've got typical in the news, we've got mass shootings today. Let's talk a little bit about some of the documents or additional documents classified that were found in Biden's home.
Sure. And I just want to follow up with this whole discussion on Second Amendment and Gavin Newsom.
Right.
So, in a Democratic primary, Gavin Newsom will have an advantage with this type of discussion. It will not help, say, a Biden from an existing position as the sitting president, because he's got to reach a broad portion of society.
Right.
So the many supporters and the gun owners in America, he's got to be careful with. Newsom would be having to prepare himself for a primary run. In a primary run, a statement like that is very powerful for a Democratic candidate, but in a national election, it's very damaging. So that's a very interesting position, but here's the most important thing to consider. As crime is skyrocketing, especially in some of these dense urban Democratic areas, a lot of people are turning to self-protection and gun ownership. And we've seen a large number of people that have protected and stopped big violent mass shootings because of gun ownership.
Yeah.
So I think it's a huge risk for him. Okay, so let's move from there, from that position, into what's happening with Biden White House on the classified documents and his possibility for running for re-election in 2024.
Yeah.
I think he's in a very, very big bind, in spite of the fact that Mike Pence just announced that he found classified documents at his home as well in Indiana.
Yeah. Well, the question is, why are they there? Were they planted or what? You know, what's your opinion, Jim?
Oh, there's no question in my mind they were not planted, that he took them home either while he was in the Senate or while he's vice president, that in fact he was using that information, it looks like, and appears that in some cases some of that information ended up in Hunter Biden's, or at least information in emails from Hunter Biden to others about business opportunities. And of course, we know with the relationship with China and the Penn Center in Pennsylvania, the potential for that connection, and again, potential, we haven't seen all the data yet and all the connections, but the connection of the Chinese government and the Biden family can't, you know, using information and intelligence for the benefit of their personal finances at the risk of U.S. national security becomes ever more great.
Yeah, I agree. I agree 100% on that. You know, basically, the thing that I'd like to bring up is another compliment to the bloggers in the sense that I am learning more and more from you guys than I learned from all of my sources. And that comes out in opinions that you guys have. I really respect your opinions. You know, you guys have been on this for a long time. You've been on it in a concentrated way, much more than I have. And I certainly appreciate all of you being on the blog for the KER Politics. Having said that, Jimmy, what else is there this morning going on?
Well, I think, you know, just a little bit more on what's happening. The White House spokesperson, the paid propagandist,
yeah.
KJP, Corinne Jean-Pierre, is having a very difficult time with even the network news media because they continue to put pressure on them. And there's more and more information coming out of coordination between the White House counsel, which is their legal advisors, and the Department of Justice, that looks and appears very much like a coordinated effort to try to at least cover this up. Uh-huh. But more importantly, something is unknown underneath this entire event that we don't know the reasons why they were looking for these, looking in their houses, but I would suspect it was fear over a House investigation with Republican-led investigations, and probably trying to cover up things and relationships between the Biden family, Hunter, Jim, and Joe, and their financial interests with foreign governments and potentially illegal activities. So as they were trying to clean up from that, they found these. There was a high probability that lawyers that were involved in that were fearful that, in fact, if it came out that they had covered up these documents or hid them at some point in the future in an investigation under oath statements, that they would be held liable and accountable. So that forced them to turn the information over to the Department of Justice. However, there was a coordinated effort to not make this public for over 60 days. And of course, that was prior to the November election, the November 8th election. So there is a high probability of an attempted cover-up, which will not bode well for this administration. And you're seeing more and more of the propagandists in the media having to report on it, which is putting them in intense pressure. But then again, you have something like this with Mike Pence popping up admitting that he has classified documents at home. It may disperse the diversion on Joe Biden. And tamp down the idea that it was incompetence and maybe it was just a minor mistake, which is, I think, what the White House is trying to push and what the deep state is trying to push.
Jimmy, let me ask you a question and let me answer first and you see where I'm curious as to where you stand in terms of my opinion. What I want to say is, what are the big issues that are going to be front and center in the next election, the next major election? I believe it's going to be, number one, the classified documents. Number two, the southern border, no question about that. I'm trying to line up, by the way, one of the actual participants at the southern border, because you might as well hear it straight from the horse's mouth, you know, as opposed to other sources. But it's just amazing what my friends have to say about the southern border. Interestingly enough, the guy who was in charge of Homeland Security for this area happens to be a very sophisticated Mexican guy. And he is very, very upset about what's going on at the southern border. I think that's going to be a big topic. I think a digital currency is going to be a huge topic. And I'm about 1,000% behind that one. Jim, I know you want to get out of here by 15 minutes, and I'm doing that for you. But I would like to know what you think about the topics I just brought up. Am I leaving something out?
Well, I think the classified documents by the election time will be a done deal. And I really suspect that this is the push to get bad now. I suspected since August last year, I talked to you about it, that they can't run him and expect to win. And of course, polling is suggesting that Trump would beat him right now. And this is with a lot of negative press against Trump, but it's changing rapidly. Trump still beats DeSantis significantly. So I think the classified documents will be gone. I think border is going to continue to be a very big topic.
Yeah.
I think the biggest topic that's going to be played out over the next year and a half to 2 years will be censorship in the media and the government influence over the media. I think that's going to be very big. I think corruption inside Washington is going to be big. I think individual crime around these dense urban Democratic cities that have gone through these, you know, justice, social justice cuts in crime is going to be big. And I think the European war, which will be have a legacy that lasts for a long, long time, the Ukraine-Russia conflict.
Yeah.
I think those will all be very, very big issues in the 2024 election.
I agree with you. Let me just say one other thing, and that is that I think that's going to be very popular. You know, inflation, which is all over all the press that I'm reading, is going to be a big issue, and that will not be swept under the rug by the time of the 24 elections, I don't think. Are you guys out there on the blog, what do you think are going to be the big issues that are coming up? By the way, excuse me, Jimmy and I are going to be back this afternoon. We've got some closing comments. At least I have some closing comments of what happened back in Davos. Got a summary speech by our friend from Salt Lake City that I think is very, very important. Other than that, I think so far the Davos conference was kind of a no-brainer. By that, I mean, I don't think a lot came out of it personally. Would you agree with that, Jim?
Well, I got to roll out of here, but I think Davos is under intense pressure. The World Economic Forum is under pressure, but believe me, they've got tremendous number of resources. They have control of many levers of power around the world. They're going to fight back. They're going to use whatever tools they can, just like the Democratic Party has done, because they are connected almost at the hip with the same philosophies and ideology. So they're just going to have to go underground, but they're still going to have an influence. They're still going to try to achieve their goals, which is basic control and elitist view of how we run the world at the detriment of anybody's individual
rights. I agree
completely
with you on that one, Jimmy. We're up to 12 and a half minutes. You got to get out of here. We'll try to get back to you guys out there this afternoon. If there's anything you want us to touch on, just let me know through the blog. Thanks, Jim.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You are listening to KER Politics.